Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? I'm super stoked to be putting together. We've been weaving several stories together from Matt connecting us through different platforms from the Green Build Council, where he spent a lot of time with our friends at IWBC, or the Industrial Wood-Based Construction Conference. And today we're going to get into more details about that. And the main message today is that we want to convey the excitement from a structural engineer standpoint. And the word engineering is, the longer I play the system built game and putting these kits of parts together, if you have to have this engineering structural standpoints on why modular market, the sector is so exciting in this industry right now, but you got to have this systemized and have an engineer set up. So I'm super excited to where these guys are at the forefront of innovation. And we're going to talk through about that when it comes to structural design. So for example, they get the opportunity to find new and creative ways to make modular construction more efficient. And you've heard me say the word modular a few times and kind of in the pre-interviews and the discussions that we call system build. We're going to unpack that because there's a lot of stigmatisms and figuring out how these new creative ways become more easier to construct, easier to streamline, and easier to build better buildings. And so they also get the challenge of existing quote unquote construction practices, right? And so that people may just have it, this is just how we always do it, right? And these guys are forward thinkers, and that's what we're all about here on the Art of Construction tribe. So how is this going to benefit you is that we're hoping to help do our part to break this negative stigmatism of the modular industry, right? The modular industry has gotten this bad rap, and we believe, and they believe, that this is mainly due to a lot of funky marketing and inefficient design and not actually putting this kit of parts together to build better buildings through a systemized platform. So our goal is to become a structural engineering leader with them in the modular design throughout North America. And ultimately, they want you to come away from this session realizing, tribe, there's so much opportunity for growth in this industry, right? And so my perspective is that let's continue this system built conversation. That at the end of this, you know, call to action is get on the wait list where we're launching next year, this master facilitator program where everyone's going to come in and work together. And we all have to take our bite out of the elephant, right? The customer care wheel, and they are the structural engineers. Their perspective is critical for us to break through the ceiling and make this be the status quo instead of forward thinking and innovators. And so we get to learn from AOC master facilitators who are doing engineering when it comes to system built construction. And, you know, here we are getting ready, one of our final shows before we end the new year. Happy holidays, tribe, 2022. These are global and timeless fireside chats, but here we are closing on 2022, where we're going into system built construction is on the rise, but it's challenging, right? And that's why we're having so many different conversations around moving this forward. And to do that, you got to continue to niche in. And as I talked about how the last few episodes where Matt McMullen is bringing back cool relationships and partners from Green Build, Matt, excited to have you here as our guest co-host. And what's your perspective for today's conversation?
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Devin, for inviting me. I appreciate it. We're on a roll here with some pretty cool podcasts and talking to some pretty impressive people. So today we get to talk to the other superheroes on the architecture, engineering, construction team. This is the structural engineer. And I want to talk about a couple things today. How do you work with a structural engineer to push boundaries and break out of the modular box? And then want to ask them kind of some questions about how do the different stresses that are put on these boxes, so, you know, transportation by truck, rail, or boat, when they're craned into place, and then when they're just sitting in situ on the foundation, how does that make it hard for them to sleep at night? Because we always joke about, with my friends who are doctors, hey, you guys can kill one person at a time, but we could kill tens or hundreds or thousands of people. So these are your superheroes that keep that bad thing from happening. Second thing I want to talk about is just the common complaint you hear on a project site is that the structural engineer over-engineers everything because of their safety factors. And so if we can talk a little bit about that, just to break that myth and bust that up, what is that reality of how those structures need to stand up to all those forces we talked about earlier get placed on them?
Wait, something has to hold this thing up?
Ish.
I thought this box is just a big empty box. It's all air and all glass. And, you know, no need to worry about that. These architects, you know, they just draw these big moment frames and it's just this big open thing, right?
Here we go, though, man. We're talking to two superheroes here. So let's get it on.
Awesome. So we get to have Derek Peck and also Garrett Davis, who are both leading structural engineers over at Tamarack Grove out of Boise. So here we go. Let's go have as much fun as possible. We're going to get to know Derek and then Garrett, and that's going to be the theme throughout the conversation. Matt, let's go have as much fun as possible. Pop the top, tribe. Happy holidays 2022. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
It is coffee. Simple.
Awesome. Simple. Derek is simple with coffee. Well, Derek, yes. Derek Peck, what is your favorite place you've traveled?
Norway.
Ooh, wow. Give us one story from that.
We were in Norway for a missions trip. And while we were there, we got to explore a good chunk of the country. So seeing fjords in person was gorgeous. It was probably one of the prettiest places I've ever been in my life. And just awesome. The atmosphere was great.
Cool. And what do you like to do? What is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about through engineering today that we passionately call the art of construction?
I would say camping and playing board games and card games at home with the family. I love doing that.
Good stuff. Well, we're going into the eggnog season. What a great time of year for that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. It is.
Awesome. Well, Derek, thanks for coming in. And we also get to have your cohort, Mr. Garrett Davis. Welcome. What's your favorite beverage?
Yeah, so mine is actually a beer, as I'm sure most people's favorite beverage is. It's from a local brewery here in Boise. It's called the Payette North Fork. It's a really good lager.
All right. Two lagers in a row. It's a funny how the trends go as we go down these different journeys and put this all together. What's a favorite place you've traveled, Garrett?
Yeah, so I'm not too much of a traveler. Idaho pretty much has everything I need, but I do have a lot of family in Wendover, Nevada, and they all work in the casinos. So whenever we go down there, we get to go into the casinos and have a good time losing money. So it's always a fun time.
And tell us what you like to do outside engineering and breaking down these silos and the status quos and the stigmatisms of the modular industry that we passionately call system build here on the Art of Construction.
Yeah, my favorite interests are fishing and hunting. I like duck hunting a lot. It's obviously really good time to do that right now that we're in winter.
All right. So let's get into your stories, Derek, and then we'll go to Garrick. What is your story that led you to being structural engineer at Tamarack?
So ultimately, as I kind of mentioned earlier, when we went to Norway, grew up with my parents doing a lot of mission trips overseas. And during those mission trips, we did a lot of humanitarian aid projects, building houses, schools, churches, things like that, wells, just different things for people groups around the world who just needed that. And obviously because of that, I was very interested in that. I loved helping people. I loved seeing the impact that you can have just within my mind, something that was so simple, something that a lot of people take for granted. So just that started getting me interested in, building, constructing things, right. And understanding the impact that you can have. And so from that mentality just kind of slowly evolved as I got older, right. Started looking and getting more excited about potential things that I could do that I was good at that could impact people's lives that I would also enjoy, right? Not just something for a paycheck or anything, but something that I know that I would really like doing. And so because of that started leading into the engineering route and specifically a structural emphasis on in that regard. And I just really enjoyed as it evolved, I started enjoying the puzzle piece aspect of it, the solution aspect, getting a problem and then finding an answer that worked for everybody in a really good way that benefited anyone involved. And so that's really what led me into wanting to do that was helping people, people that even things that they don't even realize and they take for granted and being a part of that and knowing that you were a part of that. And then also solving any of those issues that came along the way. So that's really what ultimately got me into structural engineering.
Well, good on you, man. And thanks for sharing that story. Garrett, what's your story that led you here today?
Yeah, since we're doing introductions, I just wanted to circle back and say thank you very much for the superhero introduction. I know a lot of times we probably get the villain introduction on calls, so I just wanted to thank you all for that. But I always loved Legos growing up. For birthdays, Christmases, I always wanted Legos. I loved building things. Even when we'd go out to breakfast, I'd be building like a something out of the little creamers on the table or the silverware. And so I always liked building things. And I loved mathematics when I was in elementary school and in high school. And my father was an electrical engineer at a local company, Micron. And so I always knew I wanted to go into the engineering field. And I started out in electrical engineering. And I figured out that I didn't really like it. I took a circus class and I hated it. But once I started into structural courses, I really loved it. I loved trying to visualize the connections and being able to apply mathematics every day in work. And I've always stuck with it because I love visualizing all of the connections and how everything comes together and being able to provide a good product for the client at the end of the day. You know, it could be their dream home that you're designing. And it's just really great to be a part of that.
All right, missions and Legos. Here we go. We got to know who they are. Now let's get into what Tamarack Grove is all about. Derek, can you give its history and what your firm's all about? And we'll build this baby out.
Absolutely. I will try to do the proper justice that the owner usually does describing this. But essentially, Tamarack Grove's been around since 2003. That was when the business was first brought in, but didn't really start kicking off heavily until about 2007. It was started back in 2003 because the owner of the company just really wanted something different. He's kind of tired of working in the typical engineering office and everything like that. And just, he felt, as he said, called to just kind of branch out on his own and kind of start his own and make his own opportunity. So 2007 is when Tamarack really started taking off and they started employing people. They had reached out, started building a small office space, got it up about five people doing simple structural things, log homes and a couple different manufacturing areas. And then the crash hit in 2007, hit them pretty hard, just like everyone. And they kind of had to scale back again and kind of start again from the ground up and slowly started building that up. This ended up moving Tamarack essentially from their first office space that they had to the backyard of the owners of Brian and Bonnie. And so they started building Tamarack back up after the recession in their own backyard. And it kind of stayed that way for a while until they started building up their employee base and their clientele again. And at that point, they were presented with a lot of what I would say really, really fantastic opportunities for Tamarack. And what kind of started moving them towards the direction that they have now, where Tamarack kind of just does structural engineering all over the world. All over the United States and everything. And that was, they had the opportunity in the early 2000, it was like 2012 or 13, if I remember, 2014, to work on the ARC encounter, which is this massive timber project out in Tennessee or Kentucky, where the ARC encounter is, and basically build a real life replica of the ARC. And so they had the opportunity to work on that, and that allowed them to start planning the future of Tamarack and where they can go. And they started hiring a lot more people based on that project and started bringing their entire Tamarack Grove atmosphere to life from that point. And since then, they have just taken off. And very similar to what I just said, they've taken off and Brian saw an opportunity to work outside of just the state of Idaho to where we have built the company now where 90%+ of our work isn't in the state of Idaho. It's all over North America. And we do everything from, basically, the way we say it is we do everything but skyscrapers, bridges, and dams. Anything in between there, structural related, we do it. And so that's kind of where Tamarack Grove started, where it started building. And now we're up to an office of about 40 people, a production staff about 30, and then some admin staff in there, about 10 of them. And we continue to grow, continue to develop to where they currently are, where we have four main market sectors and are doing on average anywhere from 2 to 2,500 projects a year out of the office all over the world.
That's pretty impressive, man. So before I jump into the next question, just one observation and then just a full disclosure on our pre-interview. So, you know, with Derek, I didn't realize that, actually with Garrett, I didn't realize that he was originally started out in electrical engineering and then went to structural engineering, which is actually shocking. But and then full disclosure with Derek, you know, we talked a little bit. I'm a Colorado Buffalo, and Derek is a CSU Ram. And so he asked me to speak slowly to him. Let me ask this question here now. I think in all seriousness, though, but one of the things I when I was looking at Tamarack Grove's resume and what they do, I was incredibly impressive of all the work that they do in various sectors in literally every state and Canada and several territories and provinces and things like that. So when you look at sort of their body of work, you're blown away by that. And then the quality of the individuals there. But let me throw this to you first, Derek, and then Garrett can chime in as well, too. How did Tamarack decide out of all the stuff that you're doing to truly get into what we call system build?
I think it's kind of a couple different reasons for it. I would say probably the two main things that I think is, so we'd always kind of done, as you're saying, the system build, modular, panelized systems, things like that, just sporadically throughout the years. And it wasn't until about 3 years ago, really, that the owner of the company, Brian, saw a massive opportunity growing and just saw the potential behind it. Which is kind of something that Tamarack has always focused on. It is maybe a niche or something like that, or just a potential future industry that you know is going to grow in the next 5 or 10 years. And so when it came to the systemized or the system engineered product, definitely about 3 years ago, Brian saw that. And so he started going full bore into looking into that, started getting on all the boards, all the committees and everything we possibly could. Just because he knew that we could really have an impact in that area and it could be a massive opportunity for Tamarack. So that's one side of it. The other side of it we'll talk about a little bit more is just our staff is very, very flexible in what their capabilities are and their understanding, their thought process and knowledge. So we're not just stuck in one specific type of thought process. So knowing that this is a industry that's still evolving and growing means that we could provide that flexibility. We could help and we can work with any team to make sure that we as a design team are providing the best product possible. And I think that opportunity was just, it just fits really well with Tamarack and how we operate.
Garrett, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'd also kind of echo that Tamarack Grove does have a lot of younger engineers, which helps because we're not necessarily stuck in our ways and we're willing to change and adapt depending on the project and on the client's needs. And so I think that's a great benefit for Tamarack is that we are a younger office and we're not stuck in our ways.
Yeah, which is crucial. You know, I mean, I know at least for the architects and general contractors out there, you know, Devin always jokes about the crusty contractor, but you also have the crusty structural engineer too, who this is the way I've always done it. And here's how we're going to do it. And you need to change your design or your build method in order to do that. So, yeah, I got a follow-up question here. You know, when Derek was just talking about flexibility, you know, we like cute phrases and stuff like that. And what jumped in my mind was structural yoga and structural Pilates. And so, you know, that flexibility. And so having said that, what role do you think structural engineers play in the built environment, specifically within that narrow niche that's modular construction, to show that flexibility with structural engineering and design methods?
I think it's massive. Anybody that's worked with any modular or panelized system of any kind knows that if the best thing you can do is be efficient, and that includes design, that includes build and everything. And so always being able to be flexible and being able to change or improve the design is key, right? Things are always changing. They're always getting better. So you want to make sure that the safety and the engineering portion when it comes to structural is there with it. It's happening at the same time. It's walking hand in hand. Because if you don't and you just apply the same system all the time and it never changes, it's always the way it is, then you'll never get anywhere.
No, all good points. And Garrett, any additional thoughts?
Yeah, I just say at the end of the day, the structure always has to be structurally sound, but that doesn't mean that you have to do it a particular way. And whatever we can do to make it more efficient for the manufacturer and easier to install in the field, we definitely like doing that, regardless of whether it's harder to engineer. At the end of the day, it does provide a better product. And having really good communication with the manufacturer and the engineer and the architect all together I think definitely helps create a much better product than lack of communication and lack of flexibility.
You know, and you think about it with design, when you see when you see something that's actually built and it looks simple and it looks clean, you know, I don't think people realize how much effort it takes to get there. They don't see all the iterations behind the scenes, and it looks like it was just meant to be, which tells you that was the best and most successful solution. And it really is, like you guys talk about, bringing the engineer and the designer and the builder together. Garrett?
Yeah, and I just wanted to say one thing, piggybacking off of that. There is one project that we worked on where they were having huge openings, but because we had rim boards stacking on top of each other from one layer or one floor to the next, we were really able to push that span of the opening by essentially tying those rim boards together. And so at the end of the day, you have a much larger opening than I think would have typically you would have been able to do with normal stick frame construction. So it does open up a lot of opportunity for developing the look that you want.
Well, this is not sounding very crusty. I'm liking the sounds of this. Big openings, clean designs. It's just meant to be, right? And what we're talking about is how do you begin with the end in mind, right? Of passing that baton throughout the customer care wheel and not have this, just give me the dang letter so I can pass inspection for all this crap that's not working, right? And so can you tell us about who are your clients when it comes to system built construction, and what are your roles on those projects, Derek?
So the project, obviously, kind of the client depends on the project, right? Sometimes it's the contractor, sometimes the architect. Sometimes it's just an owner or a developer. I think the very beginning of that, and I think a lot of people understand this, they just don't practice it, right? Everyone always talks about communication is key. I think it's like a standpoint of almost any company you ever talk to, right? But actually doing that is a whole different system. And I think when it comes to working in this field, the communication aspect and always talking with the design team is important. But in order to not get that permit, right? Not to have that mindset, you have to make sure that everybody's on the same page to begin with. So I think understanding everyone's expectations on the project from the very get-go is super important, and having a conversation about, and you've all seen a variation of the cartoon, right? Of kind of what the owner thinks it's going to look like, what the contractor thinks it's going to look like, what the architect thinks it's going to look like, and what the engineers think it's going to look like. And it's always a different picture. So understanding that and coming to a common design or a common understanding, I think, is the most crucial and key element. And that really pulls into the flexibility, right? Because in order to do that, everyone has to be able to give a little and give up something and then have that nice back and forth. So based on that, depending on who our client is, just coming to that understanding with everybody and saying, hey, are we all on the same page that this is really what we want when it's all said and done? And if so, then you can begin the steps of how do we get to that point and really start that design process. So when we do that, it just makes it so much easier when everyone at the very beginning starts at the same step. Everyone's at the very beginning, they're at the intro, same level, and there's no confusion. I don't think it really, and like I said, we've worked with contractors, developers, architects, and everyone is kind of our client depending on the project. And it's just made it run way smoother if we're all at that point at the beginning.
Wait, I thought I was the only one that has confusion of what the engineer intent and what the architect's design when it comes to putting that together.
Right.
They say, wait, Devin, you have more, you know, this is not normal. I'm like, yeah, it is normal because it's communication is hard, right? And I totally love that perspective. Garrett, anything you'd add about the roles on projects when it comes to system-built construction?
Yeah, I definitely say that we have a huge role, especially with a manufacturer who's just starting out. It's probably been about a 50-50 split between manufacturers who have been doing this for decades and manufacturers who are just starting out. And this might be their first or second project. And it's really nice being able to get in there on their first project and going through what will work and what won't work. There's a lot of flexibility in the design that we get to be a part of. And that's something that's always fun is being able to help with the design from scratch versus being given a product and making it work with the client's revisions.
No, I think Garrett brings up a really important point. And, you know, Devin, we've talked about this with guests that we've had on the podcast where we always said that disruption, right, is going to happen from outside the industry. You know, where we saw certain people that were coming in with a graphics background and they were disrupting, you know, robotics with rebar, structural cages, reinforcing cages in New York. But here's like disruption from inside the industry, right? And you know, very similar to some of the passive house discussions we've had where people, passive house folks want to come in and work with the panelization and system built folks to really provide a great building envelope. You know, what Garrett's talking about is coming in as a structural engineer with an open mind, young, fresh mind, and saying, hey, how can we do something different, make it stronger, cleaner, and give you that look that you want versus that single wide, double wide trailer look?
Yeah. So here's the part that I was super excited to talk about, because what it boils down to, my experience that I've had the pleasure of going to so many different modular factories that we call system built, and we call it system built because when you go around, it's like they're so special. They're doing this. And the reality is it's a lot of the same stuff being put around. And that's why we're so passionate about launching this platform that is, we're all coming together as lifelong learners, because the reality of this is it takes a mind shift and a psychology to change, but that's step two. Step one is this thing called money. And so there's all this outside money coming into it, and a lot of it is being vertically integrated. So I love to hear where Tamarack has been around and putting this in, because you have to, a lot of the podcasts that we've been talking about this is you have to have a level of expertise or tribal knowledge to be able to understand. When you say the word moment frame, like just these terms and these things, what that means. So, Derek, I'm curious, what is your level of expertise that you're finding out there when it comes to talking with your modular clients? And do you find that people often have sometimes maybe some unrealistic expectations of, I just want to order this house that just comes in 2 weeks and gets put up in 2 days?
Yeah. So similar to what Garrett had mentioned earlier, right? With the experience of the clients that we're getting, right? The 50-50 mix. And that 50% being, you know, some people who've been doing this for 30 years in the industry or more, versus some people who are just now looking to break into it. And that understanding that that's kind of what's going to happen, right? Most people are going to come into these situations similar to like if you were doing a custom home, right? Where they're going to have these extravagant thoughts and these ideas. And just having that communication at the beginning of being like, well, there are some limitations currently with what we can and cannot do, and pointing out what those are immediately so that we can do what we were talking about earlier of everyone getting on the same page, right? But also knowing and realizing that because of what modular is and what panelization is, right? It's almost like a blank canvas in some ways. There's not a lot of information or standardized products or designs out there that everyone just uses, right? That's kind of the fun is, you have the opportunity to start designing things that a lot of people don't have a lot of information about, which kind of gives you a like I said, that blank canvas, that unlimited amount of engineering or opportunities. So with that, when we have these unrealistic expectations, like you were saying, it's not necessarily that it couldn't be done. We just need to find a way that we can get to it and just make sure that everyone's on the same page on how do we get there. And so you had mentioned moment frames earlier, and I think that is something that you're seeing a lot more frequently, moment frames or portal frames. And with that, with modular, that's probably one of the things that's come up that I think requires the most innovation and probably has the most opportunity for changing how we kind of look at things right now, just because everybody wants that big open system. How Garrett had said earlier, some of these mods, when they come together, there's big openings and there's really nothing there structurally to support it. So we're not saying it can't be done, but what are ways we can make it happen, right? And kind of breaking the conventional mold of just saying, no, we don't do it that way. So because we don't do that way, we're just not going to even look at it. But realistically saying, okay, this might be a possibility, but what do we need to do to get to that point? How do we do that? And educating everybody on what an actual moment frame is and what it does, or a portal frame. What is it and what does it do? Right? What is the purpose of it? And why do we have these current limitations, I would say, in the industry? Like, why did we get to that? Does it mean that it can't change or evolve? No, absolutely not. It can definitely do it. And that's what's so great. But we have to make sure everyone's on the same page on what it takes to get to that point. And so I think really speaking with people and making sure that they understand what they're saying, what it means to say portal frame, what it means to throw in steel, what it means to, you know, do a pre-engineered truss versus just a TGI, Like, what does that take? What does that mean? And just and how helping everyone understand why we do certain things or why we've done certain things, so everybody understands where we're coming from an engineering standpoint, so we can all work on a solution together.
Well, let me just take a moment and frame what Derek said. And because there was some real nuggets in there. And, you know, the first thing he was talking about is Canvas. And as all the designers in our listening audience know, worst thing you can face is a blank canvas, right? And I think the one thing that's great about modular, and Derek alludes to it, is it gives you like a tool to be able to work with. So instead of saying, hey, you know what, I want to create something incredible. Well, yeah, so what am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to use oils, pastels, charcoal, decoupage. You've got a specific set of tools that you can use. And so that actually frees your mind up, because then you can work within those systems. And he mentions then in moment frames, you know, steel. So far, we've only been in one factory where we saw where they were putting in essence, you know, steel moment frames. Not many modular factories do that. They try to do everything out of wood, just because it requires, well, a lot of different reasons. It requires special skills. There might be special inspections that are needed, et cetera, et cetera. So just wanted to pause for a second and say that I think what the listening audience is hearing is that this is the type of structural engineer you want to work with, somebody who's willing to think not just outside the box, but outside the system and the process.
Yeah, and the thing I'd add is, you know, what is a moment frame, right? And the part is, as the more I have these conversations, is not just a standardized kit of parts. You have to have the flexible design to be able to, at a moment's notice, to have these special types of frames. But it all has to blend through this standard kit of parts to build from if you want to streamline the efforts, right? And I think that's the part that we're all trying to struggle to figure out with, especially if it's built offsite and then brought to the site, right? And so, Garrett, anything you'd add to that before we move on?
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to echo what Derek and Matt were saying, is that a lot of structural engineers have a big toolbox that they can pull from, whether it's moment frames or portal frames or what have you, to make the design work in the client's eyes. And it does require flexibility with different materials, but it is very nice to be able to have all those tools at your disposal to make the client's vision come to life.
You know, Art of Construction was on a podcast, TV cast with Audrey Grubesic at Offsite Dirt this month. And one of the things that we talked about was architectural Jenga, which was kind of like a little thing that we coined. And one of the first trips that I took with Devin was when we went back to Anderson Windows and Doors in Stillwater. And there was a bar there, had a giant Jenga set, which got way more interesting the more drinks that we had through the evening. And so to me, it's been one of those things that it just kind of captures what's kind of interesting about putting, you know, boxes or panels together. But the one thing I heard from Derek, you know, and we mentioned it here earlier in the podcast, is structural flexibility. So structural yoga and structural Pilates. So I'm gonna throw it to both of you guys, just kind of like a free form discussion, just to say, let's talk a little bit about the science of designing modules and connecting those at the job site. And when we talked in the pre-interview, you guys talked about that being kind of a fun art form, but think of it as kind of architectural Jenga meets structural yoga and structural Pilates. You guys talk a little bit about how you approach a project like that?
Yeah, first I'd kind of like to ensure we're not pulling modules out of the building, kind of like Jenga. That wouldn't do too well for us. Okay, that was a stupid joke. Yeah, so to echo what you were saying, a lot of module projects are different from project to project. And a lot of times you might have modules stacking on top of each other in different orientations, from floor to floor, and that definitely requires a lot of flexibility and in your connection design. You know, if you have shear walls that aren't lining up between floors, if you have diaphragms not lining up and openings at various locations, it can definitely get interesting on how you analyze everything. And it definitely does become an art form on the structural side of tying everything together to get all of the loads from the roof through the floors down into the foundations. But it's definitely a challenge, and that's something that's really fun about modular, is that it always provides a challenge with each project. and making it work.
You know, and I loved your joke earlier. I thought it was good, man. Because that's what the structural engineer does, right? Like, you would be the guy who say, "No, dude, whatever you do, do not pull that block out, because that's not going to lead to anything good." But I love it when you guys talk like that. I thought you guys were even going to bring up drag strut, you know, to get that shear to flow between diaphragms. Derek,
yeah, we can start talking drag straps if you want. We're all about it. I know sometimes, you know, the contractor might not like it, but, you know, if we have huge openings, sometimes we have to do what we have to do. We have to be the bad guy sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's I think the best advice I ever got was when we took, I was taking my California architectural licensing exam. There was a structural engineer teaching the long span and the shear classes. And he said, "You know what, guys and gals, just think of it as water. Like, I'm pouring water on a roof, and that stuff has to flow down and make it all the way from the foundation down into the ground. And you just got to track the path of that water. And that's what shear does." So yeah, no, I think it's good. Let me throw it back to you, Derek, and get your spin on the design process.
Yeah. So similar to kind of what we talked about earlier, right, is obviously you're going to have everyone on the same page and everything like that. So as these designs come forth, right, as modular and panelized, the industry is growing, you're going to start seeing a lot more people in it. You're going to get a lot more creative looking structures. Right. And I think, you know, with mod and with a lot of structural engineers, right, we want simple. We want, give me a box, you know, make sure every wall lines up, make sure every diaphragm lines up, like make sure it's easy. And I think the downside is that's kind of how we've become with a lot of things, because it's simple. We like repeatable things, right? But at the same time, right, that's kind of why this new push for mod has actually become exciting, because that was what we have kind of gotten stuck in over the last 30 or 40 years. But you kind of forget about how enjoyable it is trying to make things that don't fit inside that box, pun intended, right? And you're thinking outside the box. It's that new design. It's the fact that you aren't going to have all the walls lined up. You know, you're not going to have this standard, you know, six-story hotel where every single wall lines up perfectly. They bear and the shear all follows the same spot. But you're going to have walls that are offset. You're going to have diaphragms that don't line up. And that's part of the fun, right, from our standpoint, or it should be, is, okay, now you get to work on something that isn't simple. It's not just, hey, we're going to follow the same template. It's easy peasy, get it out the door. It's safe, it works, but you're not doing much change. So I think it's kind of that blended design, right, of making sure everyone's on the same page. We can, you know, we don't want this, you know, Taj Mahal extravagant build, but at the same time, we don't want this boring, you know, rectangle, right? It's okay to have this stuff in there, because then it's fun for everybody and it's enjoyable for everybody. And that challenge that it presents, especially on the structural side, it's kind of, it reminds you of why I think a lot of people got into this career path to begin with. And it's taking that design and being able to make it work. So with that architectural Jenga, you know, it's that spot of saying, okay, that you might have to pull back a little bit to be able to find it, to make it work structurally, but you can still leave it to where it looks really, really good from the outside versus what the standard mindset is for a mod, right? Just the box. So I think it's fun. I think it's just a matter of getting everybody on the same page and making sure that everyone agrees on what the final product is.
Hey, so let's move on to the next question here. Like, what I imagine you guys are going to get a lot of calls from people going, "Hey, these are the kind of structural engineers we want to work with." So what do you see for Tamarack in the future? You know, where does Brian see it going? Where is the young staff that you've got there? Where do you see Tamarack headed in the future?
Yeah, so I think we actually have a lot of conversations about this, as you can probably imagine, inside the office and everything. I think it looks really, really great. Something that Brian will always say, if you ever talk to him, right, is every year that Tamarack has been in existence is the new best year that Tamarack's ever had. And I think a lot of that is a big portion of it when it comes to the actual engineering portion is the flexibility. I know we keep using that word, but it's true, right? The ability for us to be able to change as we go and work with the clients to get it done. So I think Tamarack's future looks really, really bright. And a big portion of that is going to be specifically because of I believe, the modular industry, because that's another big, massive market that we can tap that really can, it's almost limitless on where we could potentially go with it. And I think we have the staff on board to do it currently. We have a really good foundation in place. And everyone that's here is familiar with the system and how we operate. And because of who Tamarack Grove is, we have the right people in place to do what it is we need to do, right? So not just the technical side, but also just the environment. Everybody wants that same end goal, what Garrett and I are talking about, which is we want to help the community. We want to grow. We want to get better. We want to make sure we're doing it right. And then we want to make sure we're working on fun designs and fun projects. So I think with that in mind, and because everyone at Tamarack kind of has that same vision, I see Tamarack continuing to grow, continuing to be successful, and being one of the places that people are going to want to work and be a part of working going forward.
Well, good on y'all. That's I love the story and the passion, right? I love to have the people that are in the business making happen, talking about how the future is so bright. Because it can get challenging, right? When the certain people don't want to change, or you try new things and it doesn't work, because that's just how it is, right? So as we work on closing this thing out, Derek and then Garrett, and then we'll ask our final question the other way around. Derek, as we build this thing out for the Art of Construction tribe and always looking in the future, but learning from the past, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to blending technology and construction?
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to benefit everybody. I mean, in short, I think it's really hard to visualize technology not improving the construction industry, whether it's like a robotic system, or whether it's just getting better software, better knowledge, better testing data, finding more efficient ways, like with Mod, to build things in-house ahead of time to then ship it out. I foresee us continuing to move that direction. I foresee technology really kind of being what dictates it and governs it, right? With the obvious, I think, shortage of a lot of homes, with a lot of multifamily, things like that, I think modular is probably going to be a fantastic solution to help with that. And obviously with modular, the more technology that comes out, the more efficient that design is going to be, the faster and better. So I think if I was to guess, I would say that the future for technology and construction is massive. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to become extremely efficient by producing better technology in this industry.
Love it. Same for you, Garrett.
Yeah, to echo what Derek said, you know, there's always going to be housing shortage with population growing, and multifamily and modular is likely going to explode. And there's also a limit of wood coming up. And so that might open the opportunity to start using a lot of more cold form steel in construction, and for cold form steel production in general. You know, a factory could buy their own roll machine and start modifying the joists in shop. And that provides them the opportunity to do streamline the design and do things quickly and efficiently and repeatably that I don't think you would be able to do in the field if you had to go to your local supplier and buy typical studs. So that's just one example that, you know, as technology increases and you can start modifying something like a cold form steel stud in the shop, it'll definitely make the product more efficient at the end of the day.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, you know, limiting resources, but, you know, using that kit of parts of what can move it forward. So Garrett, I'll let you close this out. And then Derek, one last thing, and anything you want to add for the Art of Construction tribe. But the question we always ask as we niche in on this thing for us to think about, to go out there and crush it and grow our business. Garrett, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I know it's probably beaten over the head in business school and on any business website you see, but I would say it's getting yourself more exposed to the market and getting your name out there and your product and what you can deliver to the client. I'd say that's probably the number one factor, is just getting your name and your product out there to grow your business.
Awesome, man. Derek, bring us home, my friend.
Same question.
What is that one thing you're going to leave the Art of Construction tribe to think about out there?
So I would say, so Garrett gave the technical side, and I would like to give a non-technical side that I think is massive going forward. And it also may sound cliche, but it's really built Tamarack into what it is now. And that's just remember that at the end of the day, we're all people. And I think if you really want your business to grow, your employees of a company should be your top priority. Obviously, at the end of its business, you got to make money, and you want to make sure that you have the right people in place. But always focusing on your people and making sure that you take care of them, I think is going to lead to them taking care of your business, your clients. And it's going to lead to the most success that you're going to have as a business, is putting your employees first.
Love it. Good on you guys. Thank you. We're huge fans of what you're doing. We're honored to be affiliated with you. And thank you for all you do and moving the stigmatism of modular forward that we're all passionately call Art of Construction System Build, that we have a whole program in the AOC Master Facilitators launching soon. So thank you for sharing your story, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on.
I love when you go back to leap forward, right? And as we have these fireside chats sitting around the fire where Derek's talking about his mission trips, where he's like, it's just so simple to make the meaningful change. And Garrett talking about growing up with Legos, or if you go listen back to when we did a What is a Master Facilitator show on a few episodes ago, where Scott Hicken, our director, talked about how I wasn't a Legos guy, but I've become a Legos guy, right? And what we mean by that is what Matt talks about, architectural Jenga. But you have to have a whole tribe and a whole team working together to actually execute that vision. And the one of the statements I loved when Garrett was getting this thing going, he's like, I fell in love with this when I found my passion, is like, I loved visualizing connections that work. I'm like, wow, we need more Garrett's on the team, because that's not what I love visualizing. It's not my gig, but I'm not an engineer, right? I'm a big picture to say, I don't take the time, I'm moving fast. And that's what Matt always talks about. Devin, let's do a little T before we GSD, right? And that's that thoughtful part of getting shit done, which that's where the engineers truly have your back if you're truly a circle all working together. And another thing I want to just reflect on is they first, Derek goes, we do everything. And I was like, ugh. And he goes, but skyscrapers, bridges, and dams. And the everything but is such a key thing, right? And I think we're actually going to put a whole program of what do you do and what do you not do? And what you don't do really helps dictates what you are true trust advisors and experts of what you do do. And in their case, modular, what we call system build. So, you know, the whole idea is about potential futures. And they talked about their owner, Brian, was like, well, this system built modular, this is it, right? And he has their visionary owner and their leader. I love when we get to talk about the people sharing their story within the story, because they're following their tribe. Their leader is out there doing that, right? And all coming together on actually being on the same page. And the gooey middle of this conversation was a thing we're always talking about, right? Is communication, right? We're all talking. We all want to be heard, but who's actually listening, right? Because that's really, really hard. And it's the key thing to actually aligning decision makers. And I talked about outside money and inside tribal knowledge of, you know, bridging that gap of people that are brand new to this or people that have been doing it for a long time. And there's not one is better than the other. It's bridging the gap, even if they don't do bridges, right? So they have to figure out how to put all this stuff together. And then you have to understand, like, while they're talking, I'm always the one that raises my hand and say, like, thank God for the Google machine. Cause I said moment frame, and then they talked about other frames. I'm like Googling as, okay, what do these mean? And I'm putting that to make sure I'm talking these tracks, cause we don't want to sound silly, but we also, do we really know what that is? And then you take the lessons of the wisdom of Matt talks about where he's went down the classes of in a class of long span and shear class. I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness we have Matt and people doing those type of classes and are passionate about that. But then simplifying that to just say, it's like understanding to simplify, it's like flowing water. It all has to come together. And Tribe, we have to make it easy. We got to start this thing easy, even though it's not. And they talked about how you got to start easy of a simple kit of parts, but then it doesn't all have to actually fit in that box. And that really resonated to me to say, how can we do modular outside the box? Knowing it has to come from within the box or the factory or the system that you're building from. That sounds simple, but sure isn't, Matt, as you're living it day in, day out, trying to move architecture forward to build better buildings, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned long span and lateral forces, and I think it was like part of a three class series. And so it was long span, lateral forces, watching grass grow, and watching paint dry. So they were like incredibly exciting classes. But you know, the thing, I believe in serendipity, man. Like, and so just to be in the Moscone Center and be in some you know, some webinar, or not webinar, but seminars with these guys, and then, you know, rapping with them, walking up and down the escalator, was pretty cool. And you got the feel immediately that these guys were different. And so I think what we heard from them in the podcast was three things, Devin. You know, and usually you don't put engineers in this sort of class. These wouldn't be the first three things that would pop up when you think of structural engineer. You know, the first one was business opportunity. You know, the fact that they really found a niche, they focused on it, and then they brought all of their talents and their personalities to bear on that particular niche. Second thing that they mentioned was flexibility. You know, we kind of made the joke or allusion to structural yoga, structural Pilates, but that's really what these guys are about. These guys are about providing the most flexible solution to bring the most elegant, solution to that problem for their client or whoever they're working with. And then the third thing, and people are probably going to drop on the floor, creativity within structure, right? Which that doesn't go with structural engineers a lot. It's something that they definitely have, but I don't think get enough recognition for. And so, I just have to say, you know, just personally on behalf of Arctic Construction, you know, we've got some projects potentially that are going to happen in Nevada, you know, around Reno Sparks and Fernley with some developers, and maybe working with a modular factory up in Idaho. And so, you know, these boys being in Boise, it would be a perfect opportunity to maybe get a chance to work together. So, absolute pleasure having them on the podcast.
Yeah, and that's where the conversations are going to be happening in the AOC Master Facilitators. We have a whole handshake section where we can share those different platforms and putting that together and all working together, because how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, but you better be having projects in the hopper to be able to innovate and move forward. What an honor. Happy holidays, tribe. Crush it out there. See you in the forum. Thanks for being big fans, and I appreciate you all, and we'll see you in the new year. Cheers, tribe.